good to see so many people out here. It's good to have so many people also joining in on a webcast, so hello to you as well. Today, my message is going to be focusing mainly in Matthew 6. And then the title is, Thy Kingdom Come. In the model prayer in Matthew 6, Jesus Christ gives us an example. And he starts out by saying, in this manner, pray, Thy kingdom come, or Your kingdom come. I want to emphasize how much we need that kingdom. We heard a special music earlier, the yearning. We need to be yearning for that kingdom. I want to look at how that affects us, how we live today, in each and every single one of our lives. How real is that? How much do I desire the kingdom? Do I ask for it daily, as it's referenced here in the model prayer? Do I ask for it each and every day? Do I yearn for it like creation yearns for the return of the Son? Do I ask for it? At the feast, we are told, we're commanded to spend our tithe on whatever our heart desires. What does my heart desire? Does my heart desire the kingdom? If we look around us, some of us are dealing with many problems. Some of us that we know, some close friends. And in the world in general, it's all dealing with many, many problems. Do we desire for those problems to be solved? Do we desire that ultimate solution for those problems? Those problems don't just start with last week or last month or last year. They start back in the garden. So my first point today for talking about this kingdom and how much we need it is that mankind has an intrinsic need for God's kingdom. It's built in. It's part of us. It is foundational to how we are. And since the Garden of Eden, we've needed God's kingdom. Mankind has needed God's kingdom. We've been under the rule of Satan, and we see the fruits of that. The world has been deceived by him, and in such, it's chosen a way contrary. And so it has all of these problems that not you or I can fix, but the kingdom will. The kingdom will fix those things. Where they've been led in a way, and we were living and leading in a way that leads to death. And we know that it's not in everyone's own mind. We can't direct our own steps. We actually need God's help to be able to do so. And it weren't for God's mercy and the sacrifice of his Son and the revealing through his Spirit, we would be no different. We'd be walking in darkness and in the same mud pit of all these problems that the world is dealing with. We'd be living in darkness in a way contrary to God. We need God's kingdom because God created each and every single one of us to become a part of that, become a part of that kingdom. That's why he made mankind, to be a part of his kingdom. That's incredible. We are made for that purpose in our lives. So how, for point number two, how do we seek that kingdom? We turn to Matthew 6, verse 33. Earlier on, we looked at the model prayer, but in verse 33, it says, But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Going back to what my heart desires, am I desiring first the kingdom of God? Am I desiring first that righteousness of God to be within me? Seeking first God's kingdom has to be done within his righteousness, putting on righteousness daily, making that choice to be like God. And it's not a simple choice, and it's not a one-time choice by any means. It's something we must be continually doing, seeking God in righteousness. And with God's Spirit, we have that ability to do so. With God's help, we can actually choose righteousness. We must do so. It is something that we are going to be showing ourselves to be very different than the world around us. Right now, we have the opportunity to be different. We have this congregation of people here where we can show that difference. And when we go back to each of our home congregations, we can show that difference to the people around us. We can live in contrast, because the world is not living in righteousness as we should be. And our attitude to them shouldn't be one where we look down on them by any means. We shouldn't be prideful because we have this special calling to become a part of the family of God. We should be showing them a righteous love. And that is the same love that God shows to them. It is the love that God shows them in hopes that they might repent and join us as part of his family and join us in the kingdom. I think of Christ's example when he looked out at Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, I wish that I could take you under my arms," like, to paraphrase, "take you under my arms like a hen takes her chicks under her wings." And it was the same city in which he would be put to death, the same people. We need to be showing that love, that outward love to those around us. We should be sighing and crying for all those problems and things that are happening in the world that are wrong and will be fixed by the return of Jesus Christ, that we will be a part of in helping fix if we do our part. There's a lot of trials, there's a lot of suffering that is going to be coming. We know this. And by of our own power and of our own might, we will be unable to do so. But we should be seeking it through that righteousness. So we need God's kingdom because it will permanently establish God's righteousness on earth. And what an amazing time that will be to have true righteousness prevailing over the entire world. All things will be put under subjection under his feet. And we'll be talking about the kingdom. We'll be teaching about the kingdom. We'll be living in the kingdom if we are there. And there's really only two choices. We're either in the kingdom or we're gone forever. So we have the choice to choose to live in a righteous way, to seek first the kingdom of God, to pray that thy kingdom come, and pray that we be willing and ready and able to be there, to be righteous, just like our elder brother, and to join the family of God in his kingdom.